Psalm 24:7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. I want to talk to you tonight about expecting the glory. Church, these are different times now. They're not like they used to be. People say, do you think we'll ever, once the COVID thing came and, you know, the socialistic attack and things like that, people are like, do you think things will ever be the same? Go back the way they were? No, I don't. They're going to be better. Amen. They will be better. And because we have a good God. And I'm just telling you right now that the scepter of the wicked shall not rule over the righteous. And so we will see the goodness of the Lord. I just believe that we've entered into a sliver of time, a little narrow band of time, which is the biggest and perhaps the most important time since the creation of Adam. We are in the last of the last days. You may not agree with that, but you need to look around again. And we've just stepped over into the spiritual realm, and in the natural realm, we've stepped over into the E320s. We've stepped over into exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or think. And so I want you to get your expectation out in the next months that you are going to have E320s on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. E320s are going to be happening. If you don't know what that is, that's Ephesians 3:20, the scripture that I quoted, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can think or ask. Well, what can we think or ask? If we want him to do above that, what are we going to expect? What are we looking for? It can't be like it was a year ago or 2 years ago. We're going to have to expect more. Amen? John 5 through 13 records the event where Jesus took the baskets of the five loaves and the two fishes and he fed thousands of people. If that isn't a picture of exceeding abundantly, I don't know what is. And I think, you know, that day thousands were fed and they even have 12 basketfuls afterwards. People say today, well, that was just a wonderful miracle. And it is, it's a wonderful miracle, but really it was more than a miracle. And I want to submit this to you. That day, time culminated with Jesus, or in Jesus. To culminate means to reach the top. And what we see here is it means to get to the highest point. You're getting to the highest point. It's an E320. You're going to go over the top. We could say that time was compressed or tightly compacted in a short space. Okay? Jesus did something with time. Maybe he stepped out of time or he pushed it all together. Whichever way you want to look at that. The growing time for the seed for the bread and the fish that was planted into Jesus' ministry was instant. I hope you're just getting that. The growing time for the seed of the bread and the fish that was planted in Jesus' ministry automatically turned into a harvest once he stepped into the heavenly realm. It said he looked up toward heaven and he blessed. So when he stepped into the realm and he put the blessing on it, time went brrr, and there you had enough to feed. Did y'all get that? Okay. A lot faster than that. Now, just look at this. The seed of the fish and the loaves is handed over to him. He takes it. He looks toward heaven. He gives thanks for it, blessed it, broke it, and distributed it to his disciples. Then they turn around and they distribute it out to as many as 20,000 people. And then 12 baskets are left over. So the seed was sown in the fertile soil of Jesus' ministry. He received it, he watered it, and immediately there was a harvest. There was plenty and enough for the storehouse for the sower. So what happened? The reaper caught up with the sower. Amos 9:13 prophesies of a time when seed time and harvest will run together. They sowed the seed that morning and they went out in the afternoon and there was a harvest. That's time culminating. That's an E320. And my friends, you and I are living in that time. We're living in that time right now. Seed time and harvest are running together. Now, I'm talking about in the way of our finances, but I'm also talking about the seeds that you're sowing into the people and to the lives of the people you know, okay? Mm-hmm. People all around you and all around the world, you're sowing all around the world. This church sows around the world. Right. Many ministries that travel around the world, and we sow into ministries and, of course, into Israel. The gospel of the kingdom is being preached, and Jesus is coming. A lot of people are saying right now that Messiah is at the door. I do believe that we are right now beginning the second phase of the third great awakening. I think we came up into this place. We had to get this first phase. We had to wake up. We had to rise up. The Church of the Living God had to do some, wakey wakey. And now we see what's going on. And America in the natural is just a reflection of that as well. Americans are waking up. Amen. We just need to get ready because there's more about to happen. And it's not just the gospel being preached. It's the gospel of the kingdom being preached. Right. Now, that, we're making disciples of nations. See, you start getting a revelation about the kingdom, about the realm, about the heavenly realm. You're going to get a revelation of exactly what I'm talking about. See, I'm not talking about what Israel wanted to set up on the earth in the natural when they asked when the kingdom was going to come. I'm talking about the kingdom realm of heaven, God's rule, his realm, and his reign. And I'm talking about that spiritual realm manifesting on the earth. That's the kingdom of God, and it's manifesting right now. It kind of seems like every once in a while you kind of get the picture, well, is the Bible, is it contradicting itself about the kingdom? Because someone said the kingdom of God is here, and then the kingdom of God is coming. Well, I'm just going to tell you, this is what it is. The kingdom of God is the presence of the future. And that'll settle it for you. The kingdom of God is just the presence of the future. God is an eternal being. He is the I am. He's self-sufficient, self-existing. Nobody created him. He's always been. He's outside of time. Amen. And he has a whole realm that is supernatural and spiritual. In the spirit realm. But it's real. It's substance. Yeah. I know I'm harping on this right now, but because of where we're going, we just need to. Praise the Lord. So, Jesus prophesied that the kingdom would be preached and then the end would come. Well, we're in that time and we're in that sliver of time. And the reaper is catching up to the sower. It's time to have high expectation. And not on wrong information. It's time to have high expectation on right revelation and right information. Yes. We should expect. It's time for us to be expecting. We're coming now to this time that Zechariah prophesied. Let me read you Zechariah 10:1. Ask of the Lord the rain in the time of the latter or spring rain. It is the Lord who makes lightnings which usher in the rain and give men showers and grass to everyone in the field. Now, in this verse, he wasn't talking about natural rain or natural lightnings. He was referring to the bright shining of God's glory that would usher in an outpouring in these end times, and souls would be saved all over this earth. That's what he's talking about. And that's exactly what's happening. There is an outpouring of the Spirit. And may I remind you that an outpouring of the Spirit, villages, cities, towns change. Deb was telling me a story of in Kentucky. She was listening to Dutch Sheets, I think, or somebody said when they had the great outpouring there, that the police just formed a choir because they didn't have anything to do. Glory to God. I know that makes your head wobble. You're like, what you've been through right now, but you haven't been through what you're about to go through. Yeah. It might do you good to go back and read about Azusa Street. Yeah. Might do you good to go back and read about the awakenings. Because in the awakenings, I mean, people laid it down. Life was good. The Holy Ghost was manifesting on people everywhere. Yeah. Everybody, I mean, peaceful times came. You're like, oh, I don't see how peaceful times can ever come. Oh, they will. During this awakening, they will. And then when we're raptured out of here, all hell will break loose. Can I just say it like it is? And then we'll go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. God will deal with the earth. But it's all going to end up just right. Amen. This is what we have to look forward to. Praise God. So we should be expecting. Now, listen to James 5. You know it, but listen to it. James 5, 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he received the early and latter rains. Okay, Lord. So we see both Zechariah and James were looking ahead to the time immediately preceding the return of Jesus. You can read in the book of Acts, it says that there'll be a time of restitution before some things change. A time of restitution before the return, right? So things have, according to the scripture, things have to get good before we're out of here. Amen. Number one, a lot of people, a great harvest, time culminating, and we reap a harvest of souls. Yes. I'm blessed if you reap a harvest of finances. But I'm telling you, we're going to reach a harvest of nations, a harvest of people that are going to come into the kingdom. Amen. Yes. And that's what I'm the most excited about, to see people realize the one true God. Amen? And I know you're excited about that as well. Glory to God. And so we've been patient, but we are here now. Now, the glory of God is kind of hard to put into words. And I think we've gotten more and more revelation about the glory, but he gives us glimpses of it all through the Bible. In the book of Genesis, it's referring to the wealth of God. The very first time it's mentioned, it's the wealth of God. So God includes his wealth in it. And then when you get to Exodus, it's a cloud by day, a fire by night, leading the Israelites, right? That's what the glory is. And then in Habakkuk saw the glory and described it as lightning like shafts of splendor that streamed from his hands. That's Habakkuk 3:4. Amen. But the word glory itself actually means heavy, weighty. We say heavy with everything good. I've probably preached that to you 1,000 times. I don't mind telling you again, heavy with everything good. The heavy, weighty presence of God. Not just little bless me club, not just, wow, the presence of the Lord was so strong. I'm talking about life-changing power coming from the realm of the kingdom. His presence, God Almighty, in you, coming up on you, and being poured out upon people. And we are going to see this in manifestation more. Now, we've seen it. We've seen some of it. We've seen, some of you here aren't old enough, but a lot of you, we were in the charismatic movement. And we saw the manifestation of the presence of God a lot. And when I was baptized with the Holy Spirit, it wasn't someone trying to teach me how to talk in tongues. There was power being released. We were in relationship with some ex-Pentecostal people, and boy, they knew how to do it. Glory to God. And so we experienced the power. And then as we went on, in the 90s, do you remember the renewal? Everybody did what they call carpet time. Pensacola broke out. Toronto broke out. But these aren't, those, as wonderful as they were, they're not like what you're about to see. Right. I mean, I went to meetings with Rodney Howard Brown where you were crawling out of the auditorium because the power of God was so strong in laughter. Yeah. Rodney never smiled. Mm-mm. He just talked like this. And he talked like this, and everybody go, and I just laugh everywhere. Thousands of people, 10,000 people laughing. Yep. And then we all gathered ourselves together and said, okay, we got to go back to the hotel till the next service. And we walk past somebody and go, and you just fall out on the floor again. It's glorious days. It's nothing compared to what's coming. Amen. You've heard stories about people getting off the train a mile away from Azusa Street and falling out. You've seen people. Brother Copeland was in a meeting it's probably been two or three summers ago. He was down in South America, and there was a lady on her way to the hospital when she on her way, and she got healed on the way. And she found her way to the meeting and said, I was a mile away from here, and I had some serious stuff going in for surgery. She got healed a mile away. Mm-hmm. You want me to tell you why? Expectation. Expecting. We're expecting the glory of God, the manifested presence of God, the heavy weighty, the E320s. Amen. He's heavy with everything you could ever want. He's so heavy that if everyone on earth needed to be healed, they could instantly be healed and he wouldn't be tired after that. God's got this thing. You know, in Acts 5:15, the glory flowed out of Peter. Remember that? And it wasn't his shadow that was healing everybody. It was the field of glory that surrounded him. You begin to pick up, if you pay enough attention, you'll begin to see reactions of people when you walk by them. I've walked in the doors of restaurants and watched people's heads look up. Like they sense something different that they needed to look at. It's not because I'm so glorious and wonderful, but we've all done that. It's because of the power of God that's on our lives. I've walked into a Christian bookstore and demons would manifest and fall down on the floor and the people would growl at us and everything else. You've had those kind of experiences too. I was thinking about Jesse in the mental institution. He went in there with that pastor, Jesse Duplantis, and he was praying in there. He's praying in there, and he lost his card to get out, so they wouldn't let him out. And he's standing at the door trying to get out after praying for some lady who, I mean, they were down on the floor with a knockdown drag out with this woman, okay? She got delivered, though. But so he's at the door like, get me out. He says, where's your card? I lost it with the woman. You know how Jesse is. And a demon-possessed crazy guy walked up and said, you want to get out? And he sticks his finger in the electric part of the door, and it goes, and the door opens. Go, get out. The demons are trembling, folks, and it's not just with Jesse. You're walking in power, amen? The people can get delivered around you, amen? So we need to expect the glory. Let's just talk about the word expect for just a minute. Hope, Bible hope, is earnest expectation. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Earnestly expecting. You earnestly expect something when you find out you can have it. So when you take the promises of God and you read them and you eat them and you digest them, something in your spirit picks that up in a life form and says, hey, I can have that. And when it does, the next step is you keep feeding it, and then faith comes up and reaches out and grabs it and brings it to you.
Yeah.
That's how the kingdom works. Mm-hmm. Another part of that kingdom is you know you can have it, and so in order to bring expectation, you sow a seed like a farmer would sow a seed, because farmers expect a harvest. And so you sow that seed and you name that seed, which is totally scriptural. There's nothing wrong with that at all. You name that seed, and then when you're totally expecting, because God wants you to sow seed because he knows what your future's going to be like.
Right.
He knows that you're going to need a harvest.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep.
The Bible's all about giving and receiving. Mm-hmm. It's all about that. It's not just about just once or twice. It's about you living your life as a giver. And if you do, you will become a philanthropist. You will be able to give when you want to. Amen.
Yes.
Now, so, but expectation, got a little bunny trail there, but we're good. God's word plus hope plus faith equals manifestation. So the spiritual process works the same way every time. You're going to come in here when I'm 90 and I'll get up here, or whoever. Paisley will be up here by then, I guess. But they're going to tell you the same thing, and that is that faith comes by hearing, that hope comes by hearing, and you're going to have to watch your confession. It's going to be the same thing. It's been the same thing since the day they wrote the Bible down. In fact, I'll tell you, it's the same day as he said, light be.
Wow.
It's the same thing as then, okay? And so it's going to be the same thing. This is what is going to work. So hope forms an image according to the word. Then faith rises up, gives substance to that image, making it a reality in the natural, in the physical realm. So you're bringing it from the spiritual realm to the physical realm. Now, we just talked about expecting the glory if you need healing or you need blessing or restoration. Let me ask you a question. In the light of all that God's promised you in the Word, what are you and I to expect? What are we to expect? What should we be hoping for? What inner image should be so capturing our hearts and minds that it's all we can see, it's all we can think about? What would be big enough? And certainly healing is great. Financial supply is wonderful. But could it be that God has something more grand for us to fix our hope on? And listen, God's all about you being blessed. He's all about you having fun. He's all about you relaxing. He's all about horses and boats and whatever it is you like. He's all about that. Vacations, he loves all that. He'll go with you. Ask Hector about fishing. He knows all about God going with him fishing. But right now there's something bigger on the scene. It doesn't mean we won't be doing all of the fun stuff in the middle of it, because we will. God's not going to take away our fun. But I'm telling you, there's something bigger happening. We need to expect the heavy, weighty E320s.
Yeah.
Listen to Romans 5:1. Says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We're hoping and expecting the glory.
Yes.
This is my promise, church. The Lord told me that I would be like Simeon of old, who was waiting for Messiah. that I would see the glory like Simeon saw the Messiah. And I believe that I've seen the glory. I've seen manifested. I've seen the clouds. I've seen the where there would be such a whirlpool of anointing where anybody that stepped in it would fall down. It's happened in this church. It happened in the old building all the time. Where people used to say when they'd walk in that old building like they felt like they were walking through water. It'd be so thick of the presence of God. But not like what you're about to see. You know, as long as you're just expecting, let me just pull you out into the deep water, okay? As long as you're expecting healing, you'll always be battling it out with your flesh. But if you expect the glory, you'll be raising your spiritual sights to something bigger than healing. It's called divine health. You'll be expecting the very presence of God to rise up in you so powerfully that instead of believing for healing every 6 weeks, you're going to walk in divine health every day. That's what I want. I'm so blessed God's healed me and he's had to heal me so many times because I've misused my body in so many ways. Fried chicken to booze to everything, whatever there was. I did it when I was young, you know. But I'm telling you, God loves you right now, and he's more than willing to give you divine health. He's more than willing to give you divine wealth. You're like, well, I haven't been very good with money. Well, start over. Yeah, I can say that. The Lord said, well, why don't you tell him this? And I heard exactly what it said, so I'm going to tell you. Stop saying, well, you know, we have enough. We're all right. This is enough. Just want to shake it out of you. It's not enough until nations are discipled. You're just thinking about yourself. Step on out there and believe God. Now, I am preaching to the choir. Because you guys do believe. And you believe for your seeds. And I want you to know that our Aliyah seed, our Aliyah seed, we were going to go for, you know, $1,000, except I was the first giver and I already gave over that. So I thought, well, we'll just go for what I'm giving and then for one more. And then people started popping up going, I'm giving and I'm giving and I'm giving. Danny told me before she left yesterday that we already had $9,000. Now, we were going for 12. We wanted to bring 12 people home, one for every tribe. We're $3,000 away. People are holding up their checks. Now, you're like, why are you people get so excited about this? Because we're about to have an E320. Because we're about to see time culminate on this particular seed. Because God said if you bless Israel, he'll bless you. And if you bring them home, he'll bring you home. Bring your loved ones home. Bring the church people home. Bring your finances home. Bring your dog home. Your cat. Well, you don't want that probably. No, I'm just kidding. I'm telling you, it's already happening. We need to have a testimony time. Maybe we'll do that next Wednesday night or not on 4th of July, but maybe the next Sunday. I know that there's at least 12 testimonies in the room. Chris got healed. Claudia got healed. Art got a major financial miracle. Jordan got a major financial miracle. There's just all kinds of things have broken out. Y'all got your boat and you weren't even pressing on it. You just believed for it and here it came. And you wait till you see the picture of the boat and the picture they had up believing for it.
Yeah.
And whoever's watching, you're like, you don't need boats. We get what God wants us to have.
That's right.
Whatever you do well by is how God blesses you and fellowships with you. He'll ride your motorcycle with you. He'll go fishing with you. He'll go to the park with you. He'll walk the dog with you. He'll go shopping with you. Watch out. But yeah, no, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. He'll do all those things with you. But I'm telling you, your preference, your priority, when you gave it, you weren't just thinking about your harvest. You got excited about bringing those people home. And here's the harvest we already got. The gentleman that's handling it in the Israeli government is expecting us to come over so we can meet the people. Amen. Glory to God. And then if you're just watching, I already know the crowd in here. If you're watching, you're going, why do y'all care so much about Israel? The Bible tells us to. Right. I'll bless those that bless you. All right, let's finish. Yeah, well, Pastor, you know, this is all just so wonderful, but don't you think that God has reserved the glory for himself? Only God should get the glory. Well, the thing about God is he is the glory. And it spills out all over his children who he is. And we are the glorified ones. In case you don't know, every born-again believer is a glorified one. That's what they're going to call us throughout eternity. We are in the great parentheses. We are in the grace phase. We're not in the law phase. We're not in the phase that happens after we're raptured. We're in the great, for we will forever be the glorified ones. People will see us. We'll be buzzing around here or doing something. They go, there goes the glorified ones.
Glory to God.
Yeah. It's true. Thank God we got to live in this time.
Amen.
But according to the Bible, in fact, in Psalm 8:5, I'll just prove it to you scripturally, it tells us that in the beginning that man was crowned with the glory. Remember the scripture? What is a man? Remember it said? It said, what is man that you're so mindful of him? That you crowned him with glory. He crowned us with glory. You know, in the garden, in Eden, the man and woman weren't walking around unclothed. He crowned them with the same fire and flame of beauty that God has on himself. You know what it means to crown? It means to anoint. You crown someone, you anoint them with the glory. God put his hands on their heads and crowned them with his own presence, his own glory, and they begin to shine just like God. So good. They weren't standing around vulnerable to the elements. Well, we're out here. We don't have none. You know, it's good. No. In fact, there weren't any elements to be vulnerable to in the first place. They're walking around in a picture-perfect park.
Wow.
All the animals loved them. Wouldn't that's going to be so much fun when all the animals are tame and love you. And the lion lays down with the lamb. Praise the Lord. They're crowned with his presence. So they're surrounded and protected by like a shimmering force of glory. The glory was lost when Adam fell, of course, and we know that. What did the scripture say? All have sinned and come short of the
glory.
But then there's a scripture that says the captain of our salvation has brought us back to
glory.
Amen. We're back to the presence if you're a born-again believer. The glory resurrected Jesus from the dead, church. Therefore, we are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so says Romans 6:4. He was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also walk in the newness of life. You and I are supposed to walk in the glory, church. We're anointed with glory. Everything we need is in the glory. Your heart's desire is in the glory. You being able to reach and help other people, it's in the glory. It's in the glory realm. Ezekiel said that God was a fire from the loins up to the loins down. The fire is the glory. The cloud is the glory. The smoke is the glory. The fullness of God is the glory. The supernatural essence and the very presence of God manifested is the glory of God. It's all God's glory. The blessing of the finances you got, God's glory. God's glory is not just left in the spirit realm. It's manifesting here in this room right now. The manifested presence of God manifests when you have favor. You just see it manifested more and more. It's been great maybe for many years of your life, but I'm going to tell you again, not like what you're about to see. And you need to go ahead and get in it and swim in it and be in it and expect to tell people, come on in, the water's fine. It's not ankle deep, it's not knee deep, it's not waist deep. You're going all the way up to here, baby, and it's going to be good.
Amen.
The Jesus will baptize you with fire, and that fire is glory. It's the power of God that'll make your soul rest. It'll get rid of oppression out of your life. It'll give you peace. It'll make you sleep good. It'll take away the agitation. Changes your soul. Most of you have enough wisdom to know and understand that a lot of sickness and disease comes from the soulish realm. It's from self being in the center instead of Christ being in the center. But we don't have to be like that. It's just a choice. Move over and let him do it. Get out of the way. Get in the flow. Move with him. He's not trying to take away your identity. He's trying to show you that he is your identity. And it's all good. Well, you know, I want to be me. I want to get to live my life. Oh, honey. The best life, the greatest high you'll ever have is doing things with God. Don't leave him here when you leave. He's on the dirt box with you. He's in the boat with you. He'll go to work with you. He's at the sales meeting with you. He's at the family reunions with you. You know, thank God for that one too. Praise the Lord. I'm just kidding. Sorta. I'm just expecting the same glory that shone on the face of Jesus to shine on me and in my situation. I'm just expecting that. I'm expecting the glory realm to manifest from heaven and manifest through us according to Colossians 1:27. And you know what that says? Christ in you, the hope of glory. The anointed one and his anointing in you. Remember what we've been talking about? We're not like, okay, we're going to go pray for so-and-so. God, I sure hope you show up. If you show up, he shows up.
That's right.
And you are wall-to-wall substance, God on the inside. You are God kid. And we need to become aware of that. We need to become so aware and reverence the presence of God when he begins to manifest. That doesn't mean we don't have fun. That doesn't mean we don't say funny things. That doesn't mean we have to be serious all the time. Jesus hasn't been serious since the day he resurrected. They say in heaven that he laughs all the time. He just laughs all the time. All the time, life is fun. Father is not serious. The only serious thoughts God ever had is when it came to the crucifixion and his son had to pay such a price. But he did it because, I'm going to say something shocking to you, he loves you as much as he loves Jesus. That's real hard to say, isn't it? You're kind of like, yep, but it's true. Scripture says so. He loves you. You are a son of God. And he loves you. And one third of the Godhead paid the price so that you could get in on it. And not just get on going to heaven. Get in on this awakening. Now, I want to say one more thing to you before we leave our folks out there. Don't struggle with this. Just relax and just pray. And just believe God that God will use you with a handshake and use you with a visiting with someone and use you and just beware of the presence of God on your life. You don't have to struggle with this and try to make the awakening happen in your life. I'm going to tell you something. It's going to happen no matter what you do. It's going to happen. And there'll be Christians that won't participate in it until we get way down into the other phases. But eventually they will. And I'm telling you right now that this, it's so interesting because of the way we've traveled through our lives, you know. We got born again, and then we found, we were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And boy, when we found the word of faith, that changed our lives so much. And then we've found out all these wonderful things about the glory realm and things like that. But you know what people are going to want? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what they're going to want. You watch. You will, exactly what the Catholics are doing. When the healing begins, the next thing they're going to want is that baptism. And people are going to get healed by the thousands and thousands and thousands. And I'm believing that this thing breaks out and heals people from vaccine stuff.
Yes.
Don't get mad at me for that, church. Whatever it takes. The plague is over. If anybody needs to be healed from any repercussions of all that, they're healed in Jesus' name. That's right. The blood of Jesus is bigger. Any repercussions from having to wear a mask for a year. Whatever the case may be. Well, where do you stand on that? Well, let me tell you. I stand on the Word of God. And I stand on the Constitution. And it is your right to do what you want to do about it. And I leave that to you. All I'm saying is whichever choice you make, I'm praying that you're healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet and that no harm will come to you in any form or fashion. You don't need to be afraid of anything. Well, what if it all falls apart and we don't have any money? This is the time of the wealth transfer. Give, and you're going to get a good measure back. And God, I've been young and I've been old and what? Never seen the righteous forsaken or the seed begging bread. You are not going to be forsaken. You are not going to lose. You're not going to go backwards. You're not going to fail. The only losers are quitters. So just make up your mind not to quit, even when you want to. And don't think we all don't want to quit. I've been here for 19 years and I've wanted to quit about 119 times. Maybe 1,119 times. But we didn't. Amen. You didn't quit. You kept going.
That's right.
On those days, thank God we have each other.
Yeah,
we say, come on, it'll be all right. We can make it through it. Thank you, Jesus. We can go. We'll make it. Thank God for that. Amen. Yeah.